This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Okay, you're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine. And our next guest, David, is...
Oh, my God, I can't believe we've got this man in our presence. How amazing. Who is it?
It's Sam Leach. Now, Sam is an Archibald Prize winner. Whoa. As well as a Win Prize winner of the same year. So, of course, we need to talk about what you're here for, Sam. So, welcome to Sunday Arts.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, we always like to get a background story on you and, you know, like Archibald Prize to begin with, but... Before we even get to that, where did the love of being an artist come from?
Well, it's been sort of a lifelong interest of mine. But I could say I didn't ever really anticipate being a professional artist while I was growing up.
Oh, okay. You weren't a good colour in, you know, you stay between the lines or...
I was pretty neat, you know, with the colouring in. I was okay. But, I was no champion at that activity. But I always enjoyed it, and I was continuously drawing. So in my first degree that I studied, it was economics, and I just drew my whole way through that and kind of did a very average job of that degree.
Were you actually drawing to sell at that stage as well, or were you giving it away to friends and family?
It was more the latter. I think there was a couple of things maybe that got sold for some nominal amount, but we did publish very briefly a sort of an artist magazine, and it was, I think the art I was doing was a bit more caricatures and graphic novel, that sort of material.
Okay.
not so much perhaps the fine art.
Yep.
That came a little bit later on.
Right. Okay, so continue your story.
Okay, so actually, it's a bit of maybe a theme for the show. I grew up in Adelaide as well.
Hey, another one. Yeah. All this week.
Yeah, I noticed that's been cropping up this afternoon. So, and it wasn't until I moved over to Melbourne that I began to take art a little bit more seriously. Because
why did you move?
Well, for two reasons. One was work. So, having finished my economics degree in Adelaide, there wasn't that much work, and so we moved over for that reason. And the other thing was to study art, because there was a part-time program at RMIT at those times. So I was able to,
work
during the day.
Working,
yeah, yep. Exactly. And start doing a bachelor of fine art in painting.
Right.
And things just progressed from there. And it just took more and more of my time, the art side of things, until there wasn't enough time for me to do other types of paid work. It was only the painting.
So how was it at RMIT? Did you know, we hear some wonderful stories from the place.
I loved it. And what was great was the part-time program was structured so that I had essentially the same two lecturers throughout the whole time I was there. So for sort of 5.5 years, which was David Thomas and Sally Mannell. And those two guys taught me every week. So they had a really good understanding of my practice. And we had this great dialogue. And it was just like a pleasure to study there the whole time.
Excellent. And... Yeah, like, so as you said, you got busier and busier with the art and not so much work. So the decision to go professional, big one, and especially artist.
Yeah, it was. I had a lucky break because I won the Metro Art Prize, which at that time was about $40,000. And it sort of came out of the blue a little bit for me. I just put a painting in without expectations and I won the prize.
Excellent. What was it?
The painting?
Yep.
It was a painting of a little partridge, a dead partridge, sort of hanging upside down on a black background with a little LED lift symbol underneath it.
Okay.
And it was, but it was enough money for me to take a year off any other kind of work and just be in the studio full time. Yep. And that made a huge amount of difference for me. So just being able to have that singular focus on the work, changed a lot of things and created a lot of extra opportunities, over the next few years. And, that was sort of the start that allowed me to make that transition.
Well, you weren't worried at any particular stage that, this money's going to run out.
I was constantly worried. Yes.
Yeah. So what happened next then?
Well, fortunately, the paintings found a receptive audience, and so
you had your own exhibition.
Yeah. I showed with a couple of commercial galleries. Nellie Caston Gallery gave me a show, and Michael Carr Gallery in Sydney while he was still running. And those guys did a good job of selling my work, and that was sort of what allowed me to go from just surviving off this prize money into making it a more sustainable, professional practice.
Yep.
And then I moved to show with Sullivan Strumpf Gallery in Sydney, which is who I show with now. And those guys are just fantastic to work with, and they've done a huge amount to, I guess, allow me to keep concentrating on my practice and not worry too much about the commercial side of things. They look after all of that for me. So I'm
excellent.
I mean, it's really a great relationship.
Yep. So obviously you entered in the Archibald.
Yep.
Was it this your the winning painting? Was it your first?
No, it was my fourth. It was my fourth go.
Yep.
And so having been in it sort of three times previously, I was really determined to try and win it. So I went all out to get the prize. I did a lot of strategic thinking about what sort of subject would be good and what way of painting. And I'd just been around Europe looking at a lot of galleries, and I was really concentrating on portraiture and thinking about what goes into making an interesting portrait, what really makes it work. And so I poured all of that into this painting, and I did several attempts at it, and it took sort of 6 months of working full time just on this one piece.
Wow. Who's it of?
Tim Minchin.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a. Actually, his play is in Adelaide right now. Matilda is
right.
In Adelaide as we speak.
Well, I keep the link going. Yeah, great.
How did you get hold of him? Busy boy.
It was just at the point for him that he was really becoming super famous. So he was just sort of taking that step, next level up in his career. So
yep.
He was still sort of accessible. And basically I got my gallery to get in touch with his PR agency, and
okay.
I just happened to be in London while he was there, and we were able to set up a meeting, and that's how it folded out.
How did you find him?
He's lovely. And funny all the time. He was continuously cracking jokes,
right.
And
because comedians sometimes can be very introverted, shy people, can't they?
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. I thought I'll get the personal Tim Minchin, and I didn't know, maybe he'd be sort of a dark, quiet person. Mm. But no, it was hilarious.
Yeah,
and I had him, of course, in his full sort of stage makeup and the hair done for the purpose of the portrait. And we went out for lunch at a pub down the road. And like I say, this is just when he was getting hugely famous there, and we got so many looks because he was ultra recognizable in that get-up, and I was kind of basking in this reflected fame of him. I was there at lunch with him, so maybe I was some kind of famous guy as well.
Yeah. And what did you do? As you said, you had him as his character. Did you do sketches, or was it photographs?
Both. Yeah, so a bunch of sketching, and then a whole series of photographs. I find that the photographs, it's really difficult to see what someone looks like from a photograph. You get some aspect of them, but the drawing sort of forces you to actually look at someone for this extended period of time, and you start to notice all these extra details that the photograph, it's information that the photograph just doesn't quite give you. So both processes are important.
Okay, and you didn't stop there. There was another prize that you've won as well, the Win Prize.
Yeah.
Well, it's called the Win Award, is that right?
The Win Prize, I think.
Win Prize,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's that?
So that's a landscape prize. And that was an interesting one. That was it was somewhat controversial at the time. So my painting was based on a 17th century Dutch landscape, which I modified a little bit. And it sort of got into the papers. There was a, you know, a comparison between the original painting that I'd based it on and the current one, and a bit of discussion about whether, whether it was too much plagiarism or not. So that was an interesting period, and it was certainly from my point of view a lot of discussion about that one particular painting.
Yep, but it came through and you won.
Yeah. And I mean, between the two things, I mean, that was it was an amazing
A household name, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I mean, it really did, I think, provide a boost to my career, it meant I was able to do a lot of additional things that wouldn't have been possible otherwise. Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you've got an exhibition at one of the most prestigious galleries in Melbourne. Where is it on?
It's on at Linden New Art.
Yeah.
They're in their temporary...
I know, because normally they're around the corner from where I live. Uh-huh. They're in South Yarra now.
yeah, they're at Domain House, which is the former home of the Acker Gallery before they moved to their new premises. And it's still in pretty good shape, actually. I went to a lot of shows at Acker while it was there, so for me it's like exciting to be able to put some work up in the same space where I'd seen all of these incredible exhibitions while I was studying.
Yeah. Now what is this exhibition? Tell us the background of it.
So the background is the work is based on a relationship I've had with a neuroscientist from Queensland, Dr. Srinivasan, who looks at bees and budgerigars primarily and how they visually navigate the world, and then uses that to build biomimetic drones that autonomously navigate.
Right, and because it's part of a festival, isn't it?
The Climb Art Festival, right.
Which have had other people on from it, and which is an amazing festival in itself, isn't it?
It seems to have an enormous scope. There's been a massive amount of work and shows that have been a part of this one, yeah.
Yeah, and you've picked a really interesting topic, budgies and bees. What made you choose them? Why the interest in them?
Well, for me, I'm really interested in looking at the world through a non-human viewpoint. So this research that Dr. Srinivasan is doing gives us this interesting perspective on how we can navigate the environment around us. And importantly, he's looking at technological applications that can take humans into the future. And for example, if we go for interplanetary exploration, we don't necessarily have a great idea of what sort of land we're going to come into. So if you can have some sort of autonomous system based on a very simple creature like a bee that doesn't need a huge computer, then you can have a craft that guides itself into this unknown terrain without too many difficulties.
Right.
And so I'm interested in this idea that by connecting and empathising and thinking about how non-humans view the world, how animals view the world, we can also, move ourselves into the future, and we should take these animals with us.
Yeah. And how reliable they are in so many, apart from us getting in their way with, the toxic shit that we pour into the system, which especially the poor little bee, is having a bit of a tough time. But then there's so many wonderful beekeepers out there now who are, saving them, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. They have had a very hard time. And this is the thing, the more you learn about just how extraordinary they are, the things that they're able to do, the more you think, these are incredible creatures, and you feel this drive to somehow help or acknowledge or protect them.
Yeah. How hard did you find to paint them?
Well, bees are tricky, actually. bees are very tricky to paint because they're I tend to paint things usually at close to life size. Not massive magnification, but I also like to get it super accurate. So of course, trying to paint something very small like that is a challenge. Budgerigars, much more fun.
Oh, and how beautiful are those birds? They really are. We know them as a household pet in a way.
Yeah,
I had one as a kid growing up in Adelaide. But in the wild, and it took me a little while. I was in my mid-teens, I think, by the time I realised that they're wild birds out in the out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's an iconic Australian native bird, and I think is it the world's second most popular pet or something?
Yep.
And I think it's probably a slightly underknown fact that that these are desert birds of Australia.
Yeah, and the fact is that the one in particular that I've seen it's in flight and it's absolutely beautiful. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
How hard was it to paint? Paint it, what did you have to run around following this bird flying?
Well, no, luckily, because Dr. Srinivasan's doing this research, there's quite a good opportunity to photograph them in various experimental situations.
Yep.
So, unlike doing the sort of portrait of a human, it tends to be mostly photographs of the reference point.
Right.
For these
okay.
ones.
Just the colours that as well. They're the most beautiful colours, aren't they?
They're spectacular, and looking at them in detail, you realise how much character each individual bird has. They all have their own unique set of markings, and even distinctive ways of carrying themselves, and you can really see that, and you start to form a preference for which ones are the more handsome budgies that you really want to paint, and which ones look a bit dodgy, and you think I might leave that one aside.
But great personalities too, aren't they? You know, like knowing them as a pet, and I'm sure they've got that.
They're so curious and interactive, cheeky.
They're a delight. That's wonderful. So the exhibition's on now.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called Avian Interplanetary.
Right. Love the name. It's a great name. And where is it?
So Lyndon New Art, in residence at Domain House, South Yarra.
Right. Sam, thank you so much for coming in today. We've had the great pleasure of talking to one of the most famous painters in Australia at this moment, Sam Lynch. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.
You're here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.